right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Hopefully you made it out of Little 5 Week alive. Hopefully we all did. The Pacers continue their fight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's all tied up at 2-2. Last time we were on the air, the Pacers had taken a 1-0 lead in game one, of course, up in Cleveland, but got down early to Cleveland in game two. Made a comeback, but fell just short as LeBron James put 46 on the board and carried the Cavs in their game two hosting. Then Friday and Sunday, the Pacers hosted the Cavs, fell down early in both games, were able to come back in both games, but only able to seal the deal in game three. But that takes them back 2-2 to Cleveland for Wednesday night's game five, 7 o'clock on TNT. And Glass, going into this, you know, I think everything gets made and everything gets looked at with LeBron James and the Cavs as though it's kind of a no-brainer with the Cavs. But this is a 4-seed Cavs. This is not a 1 or a 2-seed Cavs. This is a team that struggled. This is a team that changed dramatically during the course of the year. And it's a team that continues to struggle against a team that's playing it pretty well defensively a lot of the time. It's a Pacers team that seems to play well together, that hustles pretty much every time down the floor. They're not always going to defend LeBron James real well, but it's causing the Cavs problems, and it's put together some offensive and defensive streaks in many of these games, several of these games now in a row, where, you know, an 18-point lead hasn't meant a heck of a lot at the end of the day. They've been able to close those back down. I think a lot of people are surprised by that.
Well, the other problem is they need to quit digging themselves the holes.
Doesn't help.
It doesn't, because at the end of the game, when shots aren't falling, well, you've expended plenty of energy getting back in these games, and that's been the issue. The Pacers have done this all year long. Well, they're not doing it against Cleveland all year long. When you're playing a different team every other night, that's a little bit different. But I think the part that you like about the Pacers is the grit and the toughness. They don't get blown out by 30 and the game's over and it's done with. They do come back. They do fight really well. But I don't think it's helped them in these last three games. They were down 18 in Cleveland and came all the way back. They were down 17 on Friday night and came all the way back and won. Just to put that in perspective, that is the second biggest blown lead ever in LeBron's playoff career. So it doesn't happen very often, if at all. And then obviously last night down 49-33 in the second quarter, you have to find a way to, I think, keep the fight in arm's reach so you're not spending all that energy chasing and having everything have to go right and having to have guys down the stretch make every play to win the basketball game. Look what it took for them to win in game three on Friday night. Bogdanović had to get 30.
He went nuts, yeah.
He went 7-for-9 from three and scored 30 points. Now, is that fair to be expected of Bogdanović every night? Well,
no.
Probably not,
no.
And that's the issue. So the Pacers dig themselves into these holes and then have to find a way out of them, and it's just you got to give Cleveland some credit, because getting those leads is not easy at all, and then defending them down the stretch or holding on down the stretch, or losing the lead, coming back, then winning the game like you saw them do last night. The Cavs are all right. They're not the elite Cavs maybe we've seen before with 66 wins and 68 wins or whatever it is. But they've got a lot of veteran guys there that have been in some big spots, and they've got 23 who just seems to know when to step on the gas pedal and know when to get off the gas pedal. And he plays 46 minutes last night and scores 32 points. He only had 3 in the third quarter, and you just sat there and you're kind of waiting. It's like, all right, Indiana's done their stuff. Now when is it going to be LeBron James time? So the Pacers have been plucky. I think that's the best word for them. They are a spirited bunch, but you can see why they were the 5th seed. This team has some flaws to it, and it has some issues to it, which, again, it's been a great season, but a season that nobody in their front office thought they would win 40 or more games. Remember that when Kevin Pritchard said that in game two on the sideline.
Yeah.
The owner asked, hey, what do you think this year? And no one said anything in the 40s. So they are punching above their weight. They have had multiple opportunities, in my opinion, to kill some games off. But as you saw last night, one of their dire faults is they just don't have an automatic score that perhaps some other elite teams do. When you need a basket, you have options. And I think the biggest false positive last night for the Pacers, they had seven guys in double figures.
Yeah.
Seven. So yep. They had guys contributing, which was great. But then they go down the stretch, and at the 3:31 mark, they had missed 10 of their last 13 field goals. Mm-hmm. And I know the last 2 minutes, I think they missed 6 of 8.
Yeah, they started going one-on-one a little bit, some quick
they
shots.
They did
not really seem to run an offense at that point.
And
just
give
relied
Cleveland
on somebody to make a play.
Give Cleveland some credit, because what Cleveland did is they left guys that didn't think they were going to beat them, like Thad Young and things like that, where Bogdanović wasn't getting open looks. That wasn't a surprise after Friday night.
Right.
After he lights you up from 7 to 9 or from 3 or whatever that final total was an amazing display of shooting. Well, he didn't find many open looks last night. He went 2 of 8 and scored 10 points. So the adjustments are always made. We talked about that last Wednesday. We probably nailed the game Wednesday about as perfectly as you could nail it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pacers' fight back is excellent. But when you leave it late to James and you leave it late to – he's going to make every play. Very rarely does he come down the floor and dribble it off his knee or takes a bad shot.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. And then when everybody gets caught up in Korver, James goes one-on-one and beats Bogdanović.
How about the little shot off the glass last night when they needed it?
Which one?
The short one over Lance.
Or how about the left-handed one over Miles Turner in that last 3 minutes where, okay, great, he spins you. Then here comes Turner on the help going straight up all 7 feet of him, and he fades away left-handed and puts it off the glass.
Yeah.
He's really good. But the Pacers struggled to get any clean looks at the end of that game. And, you know, that's the NBA for you. If you don't make plays down the stretch – if you don't, you have to score. Nobody goes in. It's not like the U.S. Open where you got to make a bunch of pars coming in to save your bacon. You got to keep scoring.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep putting the pressure on the other team. And that's what Cleveland did last night. They found ways to close the game out. They found ways to score. And that was the tough part. The Pacers really don't have that night in and night out number two scoring option. And when Victor Oladipo goes 5 for 20, you're really, really struggling to find how it works.
I wanted to ask you about Vic. He's played 80 minutes in the last two games, both home games. He went 10 of 35 from the field, scored 35 points.
And James went 88 minutes and then scored 32 and 20-something.
But I asked this last week before game two, is it too much to expect Victor Oladipo right this minute to be carrying a load anywhere near like LeBron James is carrying with this team? I think we all realize he's their best player out there, but he's not used to being at that all-star level at this level of basketball either.
The tough part for Vic is this is part of the grown-up basketball that you have to learn. This is not 4 nights a week during the regular season. You have to do that part of the game as well. But everybody in the building knows in the last 2 minutes he's going to be the focal point.
Right.
So what do? They run stuff at him. They double him. They bring all the help. They force him to the wrong side of the floor.
And he settled for a couple long shots
last
night.
You know what was the frustrating part? And this is where I think the part of the Pacers' fallacy is. There was a couple plays I ran back about 20 times and looked at. Darren Collison couldn't beat Kevin Love off the dribble twice in one play.
Yeah.
It was a screen and roll. He went through his legs a few times, kicked it to Thad. Thad said, no thanks, back to you.
Right.
Tried Love one more time, threw the legs up and down everywhere else, fadeaway block, shot clock violation.
Mm-hmm.
You got an NBA lead guard that can't take a 7-footer off the dribble.
Yeah.
That's going to be part of the Pacers' problem, because what it does is doesn't break down the defense. You saw Oladipo in the fourth quarter in the last 5 minutes. He had 3 pull-up jumpers,
mm-hmm.
4 pull-up jumpers. He had a 3, and then he had 2 on Love. He made one. He missed one. So they had 3 pull-up jumpers. Where what is his strength? His strength is getting to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one where he gets fouled with from J.R. Smith, it looked to me like Victor last night was looking for calls more than he was looking for scoring. And you see the leg fly out and the arm fly out, and mm-hmm. you're going to the basket and you're kind of throwing it up in the air. He just looked like he was forcing. Instead of finishing, he was forcing.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get free throws out of the deal instead of making plays.
Well, again, a couple of those shots were late. When the Cavs were putting their move back on, the Pacers had just taken their lead, and then there was at least 3 straight possessions, I believe it is, where he pulled up on twice, and then the Darren Collison possession happened, like you mentioned. It just that all three of them felt like settling.
And you got to give Cleveland's defense part of that, because the point was, if you're a guard and you get Kevin Love rotated to you,
that's what you want.
That's the ultimate matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland couldn't be happier that you would settle for jump shots in that situation.
Yeah.
And that's what the Pacers did. So that's part of the learning that comes with it this time of year. In transition, the Pacers got hurt a couple times because everybody was running to spots instead of finding out where Love and Korver were, the guys that can shoot the basketball. So you saw some of the failings of the Pacers, and not failings is a tough word. You saw some of the situational plays that you have to make at this level to beat teams like LeBron James. You can beat 6, 7, 8 seeds playing a little casual, or just, you know, it's great when you hustle, but if you don't hustle to the right spots, what's it matter?
Right.
And that's where the Pacers, in my opinion, got burnt last night. They also had a big question for Nate McMillan, and I didn't watch the post game. The game starts at 8:47 on a Sunday night, for crying out loud. I'm not staying up to 12:30 to watch NBA TV's post game of that. But Domantas Sabonis is killing Cleveland. Is he dead, tired, puking? What's the problem? Why is he out of the game? Mm-hmm. He goes out of the game, and the Pacers come to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
They lose their rim protector. They lose. He was guarding LeBron in pick and roll.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with what Domantas Sabonis was doing. I didn't get that, and I don't think Nate looked at it. He probably getting him a blow, mm-hmm. trying to get him out of that. But it felt disjointed, and the Pacers really struggled there at the end because I guess they thought they were going to get stuff from pick and roll. They tried. They kept running. And it just didn't work out for them. And you have to give Cleveland some credit. They overloaded on the shooter side. They made the Pacers make the – Thad Young's open for a reason, guys.
Yeah.
Thad Young hit a three in the first part of that game, and he's open for a reason. He's not going to shoot 19, 20-footers all day and all night. Mm-hmm. So, and the Pacers, late in the shot clock, were hurrying to get shots. They weren't getting shots. And sometimes when you don't have your big playmakers make plays, that's what hurts. And what did Cleveland do? Well, they get old man Korver in there. They run him off a couple screens.
Yeah.
You fall asleep for 10 or a tenth of a second, and he's beating you to the top of the key, catch and shoot three. LeBron's going one-on-one with Bogey with no help because everybody's got their back turned wondering where Korver's at. It's those little details that add up to big things. The good news for the Pacers is quit digging yourself these holes,
right,
and maybe you don't have to sit here and grind it out at the end. I'm not saying they're going to beat Cleveland by 12 points every night, but my goodness, the Pacers, again, they're not shooting the ball great, are they? Am I missing something on that? It seemed like they're not shooting it well at home.
No.
If you're not shooting it well at home, where are you shooting it well? And it's not there. They had 8 turnovers last night and lost an NBA basketball game. That just scratches your head and makes you wonder why it was.
Yeah.
But they're not bad. They're in it. And I said this morning, and I'll say it again. If you were to ask any Pacer fan before the series started,
what do you want?
Would you have taken 2-2 back to Cleveland?
Yeah, absolutely.
I bet 95% of Pacers fans said, yeah, and we're going to win game 5 because we just won 2 in a row at Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Right.
Well,
happened a little differently, but you're there.
But that's the point.
But you're there.
Now it's a 3-game series. You had a chance to expand home court advantage. You didn't.
Yeah.
So now you have to take what comes with that, and that's going back to Cleveland perhaps for 2.
And you've won one in Cleveland
already,
with a great start and a blowout, really, and you came back in game 2 to make it a little itchy down the stretch. So, I mean, it's not like this Pacers team, rather, can't win up there. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. Back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. We're with you just for a few more minutes. We're going to turn it over early tonight to the Reds. They are at home tonight against the Braves. Same thing is going to be the case Tuesday, Wednesday also. So we'll have a short show on Wednesday as we preview the NFL draft and the Colts' potential selections in particular on Wednesday night. So again, just a couple more minutes here. We'll turn you over to the Reds at home against the Braves. Or is that at the Braves?
That's home in against Cincinnati. The Braves. So yeah. We'll be a little patient. I'm not sure what the weather is in Cincinnati, but it looks like the rain has finally stopped here after 12 straight hours or whatever it's been.
That's how it works. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. So you got to my question before I was going to ask it, and that is, should Pacers fans and should the Pacers be happy with where they are? Let's take away the fans' things, because you answered the fans' question.
Yeah.
Should the Pacers be happy with where they are?
Yeah.
You mentioned Kevin Pritchard said, hey, nobody thought we'd have 40 wins.
It's not even
internally here. We're not just happy to be here, but we did a lot better than we thought. We think we can beat these guys. It's 2-2 now. If they lose the next 2, Is this a success or is this maybe a missed opportunity?
I don't think it's a success. I don't think it's a failure. I think it's a step in what they're trying to build as a franchise. And that sounds like a cop-out, but it is to that degree. Here's why the Pacers are happy right now. The Pacers aren't shooting 57%. LeBron's hitting 28-footers at the buzzer to beat them. Right. They're not playing well. When they've lost, they haven't played well.
They're not playing great.
When you dig yourself 18, 17, that's three consecutive games. In the it's always the first half. It's not the third quarter. Mm-hmm. It's the first half. So why aren't they starting better? They started great in game one.
Yeah.
So they can't be happy with that. That's problem number one. The starts haven't been good enough. They haven't got enough consistent scoring. Is that a roster problem? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, sure, kind of. But we know this from the Pacers. They've never had it. They share when they share the ball and they balance, they're tough to guard. But when that balance comes down to the end, when it's really comes down to an isolation one-on-one type game, if you're not running premium sets and you're not getting guys open, then guys have to create their own shot.
Yeah.
And the Pacers have shown you the last couple of nights, last three games, maybe they don't have the best create your shot kind of guys. Paul George could because he was 6'8 and hard to guard.
Right.
He can get a shot from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Victor gets a little help on him. Great explosiveness, everything else.
His outside shot isn't consistent enough because, again, he had two shots he could have made, and he's made it other times during the series, but he threw them up a little early, maybe didn't try to get to the basket. They don't go in, and you're, you know, the Cleveland's scoring on the other end.
Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis. Lance is going to, you know, Lance will take the shot. I guess you give him credit on that. Lance will try and get his own shot. But you just don't have that second scoring punch to go to. You'd hope it's Bogdanovich at 29. I'm not sure how many playoff games he's been in his life. I don't think as many as Kyle Korver or J.R. Smith.
Right.
But that's why Cleveland's a little bit better than the Pacers. So the Pacers are happy for this reason. Hey, we're not playing our best and sitting here going, geez, we can't get over the hump. Mm-hmm. We're playing great. Everybody's doing what we want. We're not turning the ball over. We're getting great shots. We're making great shots. And they're just better than we are. They're not playing perfect basketball or anything near that. So I think that's exciting because it shows this team isn't peaked out or plateaued. Now, can they win in Cleveland? Well, that's a great question. Well, they have to, right?
Right.
Because
at least one.
You have to win at least one more. And that's the tough part when you don't hold your home court advantage. But that's not surprising. I think in these matchups, you have so many moving pieces in it. Korver did nothing for three games before he lit up.
Right.
But when did he light up? That was important.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just as important when Bogdanovich lit up in game number two, in game number three, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do that every night, but he has to help out. He can't have nights where only scores 10 points because that looks great in the box score.
Right.
But Bogdanovich hit back-to-back threes in the third quarter, so they're 6 of the 10.
Yeah.
That's great, but you have to have more. You have to have more help, especially when Victor goes 5 for 20. Wasn't his night. I get it. And the Pacers, the scoring options for them, nothing is coming easy. The guy that got the easiest baskets, I think, was Sabonis. And he had done nothing the entire series. So you're getting a new guy every night a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that new guy didn't have Victor's 28-32 to go with it.
Well,
that
see,
was the tough part.
That's the thing about the two wins that stands out. And maybe you can point this the other direction for the Cavs, too, is they had Vic go crazy in game one. They had Bojanovic go crazy in the second half, in the fourth quarter in particular, of game three.
It was beautiful.
Is it going to have to be like that? I mean, you mentioned it. They had seven guys in double figures last night, and yet they're still having to come back from a 16-point deficit, and they did take the lead in the fourth quarter.
They did, 83-82, 91-89.
And then it kind of dried up after that.
It did, because they couldn't score down the stretch because they didn't have anybody else step up and make shots. Kyle Korver stepped up and made shots. They ran stuff for Korver to get him shots. That's the difference. They've got a guy that's been there and done that, but Korver didn't help them. And I was all over Korver after game one. What's he doing out there? Who's he going to beat you? J.R. Smith, what's he do? Gives you 3 3-pointers in the first half. What'd he do the rest of the game?
Yeah.
Jordan Clarkson. 12 points, 5 for 5 in the first half. Didn't score again.
Mm-hmm.
You get these piecemeal helpers out there to get LeBron to the fourth quarter. Then LeBron gets to the fourth quarter, then everybody's got to batten down the hatches. What the Pacers can't afford is a night when Victor isn't firing on all cylinders. That's the tough part. And if he's not firing like he was last night, then down the stretch you hope that's when it kicks in. But it didn't, and that's why the Pacers are behind 104-100 last night, but it's tied 2-2.
Let me flip it to the other side of the ball real quick. The Pacers have won holding the Cavs to 80 and 90 points.
Yep.
Pacers have lost when the Cavs scored 100 and 104.
Yep.
Is it that simple where it's the other side of the ball and you got to pay attention to where everybody is? I mean, you knew you know LeBron James can go nuts. So, I mean, game two is not a surprise.
No.
I mean, a guy had 20 in the first quarter.
29 and a half,
yeah,
that's right.
I mean, you knew that was a possibility and a likelihood, in fact, at some point in time. It might be in the next couple games. But do you have to keep them down into the low 90s and below in order to beat this team? No, because, I mean, obviously
yes.
The Pacers are at least somewhat offensively challenged.
They are, and so and the Cavaliers can be. But I think when Cleveland gives James support offensively from multiple places, he can coast a little bit. He doesn't have to get his own shot. He can play 46 minutes and not have to grind to get his own shot and carry the load all the time. That's what helps. But it is a team game. There are four other guys on the court all the time. And what LeBron doesn't get the credit for, he's a wonderful passer. He sees the game so well. He makes things easier for his teammates. And if his teammates are missing shots, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
somehow
really
people
good.
Have made that a bad trait for LeBron James.
Yeah,
he's supposed to take everything.
Well,
no.
he can if he wants. He was 0 for 5 from 3. Just make him shoot threes all night until the night he hits 7 of 8 on you, and you wonder what just happened. But I think what the Pacers have to do, Dave, it's the whole. They have to get off to a better start. Mm-hmm. They have to make Cleveland worry about some things. Cleveland's only worry now is, well, are they going to come back again? Well, that's
right.
So Cleveland can play comfortable. The Pacers have had to play on this knife edge, and they've only won one out of these three when they've dropped behind.
The only game that wasn't close was game one, and you know, Cleveland did cut it to 7. In the fourth quarter, but you know, Pacers put the pedal to the metal once
they
again and pulled away. And they did so by, like you said, I mean, jumping all over them early and making that a hard hill to climb instead of making their own hill the hard one.
And game one has been an anomaly in a couple different respects. LeBron James, as we've talked about, didn't take his first shot in game one to 1:58 left in the first quarter. I don't know what the strategy behind that was. But then he goes out crazy in game two, sets the tone for everyone. But if guys for Cleveland aren't scoring, you know LeBron's going to score. I can't say that for the Pacers. I can't put that on Vic yet. I haven't seen enough from Vic to say, well, Bogey's 0 for 3, Turner's 0 for 5, Sabonis is 1 for 4, or whoever you want to put in there, time to go.
Yeah.
Because when you're 6'4", you don't always get as many shots as you do when you're 6'8 or 6'9".
And again, his outside shot needs some work and
it's
has
hot.
Been leaving him lately 10 of 35 the last two games. We'll see how he responds, and we'll see how the Pacers respond again. Wednesday night. We have to take off, folks. Reds baseball coming up here. It's an early one tonight. They're at home against the Braves. Same for tomorrow night and for Wednesday night. We will be back with you Wednesday, of course. So tune in then. You've been in the zone.